official at work station. North Shore 104.9 WPOQ Gloucester.
The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, on 41 Cross Street, right across the street from the, I guess, now beginning to open North Shore Mall, and right above the soon-to-be-opening Alto Forno restaurant. We are very excited that we are entering phase two starting on Monday. Thank you, Governor Baker. I wish you had done a little sooner, but nevertheless, we are here and we are moving forward. I drove the streets. I live here in North Andover. I was driving some streets over the weekend, and it looks like many of the restaurants in the area are preparing for opening day on Monday. They have tents outside of their restaurant setting up for outdoor dining. More retail establishments are opening up. The parks are opening up. We're going to start to have camps this summer. Things are coming back to life, and it's all because of each and every one of you. We all participated as a country. We stepped up to try to flatten this curve, to try to do our part. There will be all sorts of folks that will have opinion whether we did not enough or did it too much or we were overreactive or underreactive. But at the end of the day, collectively, we are making significant progress, and it's nice to see things beginning to open up. We've got to get back to work, and I will tell you, the stock market certainly seems to believe that better things are ahead. We've always talked about the stock market being a leading indicator, and the stock market's statement this past week where the market has grained just gone up. I'm not even going to worry about percentages. It went up a lot, like a couple thousand points over this past week, certainly on the Dow. It's been significant. And those that fretted and worried around March 23rd when they saw their investment, when they saw the stories of investments dropping 35% or individual stocks dropping 70 and 80%. Those worries are kind of in the back of rearview mirror now. We are starting to move forward. No, we're certainly not out of it either. But the fact that we're down just a few percentage points from our high is a significant statement to what we have done as a country, what our government has done from an organizational standpoint of trying to help us understand what COVID is, how we've tried to work through it, to our frontline workers who have stepped up and managed just a tsunami of patients, of situations, of all these unknowns. And we as a nation have worked through it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's good times ahead moving forward. There will be challenges. There will be pullbacks. You know, you've seen, like I've seen, the many, many protests. And we have a right to protest, a right to get out and speak our minds and state our opinions. They've been all around this country, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people gathering, rallying, and protesting. And I don't know about you, I've watched those crowds and I thought, did anybody get the memo that there's a pandemic in town? And then I watched from actually they had the parade here in North Andover. The seniors had their high school parade, and I know these parades have been happening all around the country to reward and honor these seniors who have really had it tough this year, who don't get the opportunity of having their senior week or their traditional graduation. So we've put together this parade. My son Noah was in the parade yesterday. There were about 300 cars in this parade. And so as we're lining up at the high school, all these kids who haven't seen each other in almost 2 or 3 months, they're all racing together, hugging, gathering in large groups, just celebrating that they're all together. And it was nice to see, but you had to remember, wait a second, there's a pandemic in town and no one's wearing a mask because everybody was going to be driving in their cars. But we're trying to figure out what happens here. The point I'm making is with all of these new gatherings and people feeling a lot more comfortable to gather, and these protests and large groups of, if you will, strangers coming together to gather and make statements, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the numbers of this COVID problem looks like at the end of the month. If we're here on June 30th, and we see that the curve has continued to flatten or go down, I think there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of experience and education who may have to rethink what the strategy looks like moving forward. Can we remain as paranoid, and rightfully so paranoid in some ways, as we've been in the past? Might we need to rethink about how we manage this virus moving forward so that we can re-engage in a community and reestablish ourselves as participants in an ever-booming economy here in America? Well, I know how the stock market feels about it because they made that statement loud and clear over the past week. And one of the things that surprised them, to tell you the truth, that really spurred this on even further was the difference of what data shows us. You know, we always talk about, you got to follow the science, got to follow the science. Well, sometimes you actually have to follow the data too when it comes to something that isn't necessarily science, but the data around economics and the data around facts that come into economics rather than the interpretation or the decision of what the media chooses to show you on television or talk about on the radio. You know, if you continue to watch the news these days, you would continue to think that there are more and more people struggling to get by, that this pandemic has forced them into their homes. They're living, eating, if you will, ramen noodles and tuna fish cans because they can't afford anything. Well, that's the case for some. Don't get me wrong. And the media will always focus on those. But generally, things are really getting better. I thought it was interesting that last week, the May savings report came out that said typically, on average, Americans save about under 10% of their pay. 10% of their pay, they're saving like 8%, 9%, 7%, somewhere around there. But did you know for the last month, Americans have been saving 33% of their income? Now, we can talk about a few reasons why that happens, of course. The first major reason is the fact that none of us are spending nearly as much money as we were spending about 3 or 4 months ago. We've really learned the difference between what it means to want something and what it means to need something. The stuff we need, we got to pay the electric bill. We certainly need to pay that internet bill because, gosh, could we imagine living without access to the internet? We got to pay for food. Yes, we're spending more money at the grocery store. We've got to pay our rent. We've got to pay our mortgage, even though there have been abatements and opportunities to not have to pay, to push those payments out. Many people are still paying them. We got to make our car payments. But we're not spending money on vacations. We're not going out to eat as much as we were. And as much as we wanted to support all of the restaurants by buying takeout, more and more families are finding, hey, wait a second, I can cook stuff at home. And with the weather getting better, that grill works almost every day. You're cooking hamburgers and hot dogs and steak tips and whatever else you might want to cook. We are saving money. 33% of our pay on average in this country, we're saving on a monthly basis. Now, that's going to change rather quickly as soon as things start to open up. But when you have all of that money that you've collected and you're going to put it to work, if you're the stock market and you're an economist and looking at numbers and you're thinking, well, if the stock market is a early indicator of what the future looks like, you got to think, with all this cash that's around, when we start saving it, when we start spending it, I'm sorry, markets, things, companies are going to be more valuable. People are going to start booking trips. People are going to start booking a cruise. Believe it or not, yeah. I mean, I asked people this past weekend, when would you feel safe to start booking a vacation outside of the United States, to the Caribbean islands, to Europe? And I will tell you, most people that I talked to started to say, you know, I would have no problem booking something right now and getting ready to hop on that plane in a month or two. And while you may not think that, it's interesting that there are many others that are thinking about it. The prospects of where this country is going to go economically, personally, you are going to be the beneficiaries of some enormous success stories. Now, what COVID has done to many families, impacted family members who have been had this virus, have been impacted by it, some who have sadly died from this. Those are stories that hurt and we will never forget either. And it's very, very sad. But there are also some great things that have, believe it or not, come from this. I spend more time with my family than ever before. The fact that we are finding new ways to connect with one another is rather amazing. And the pure showing of humanity that exists in our community, in our families, nationally, it's remarkable. When I saw how many people showed up to the North Andover Graduates Parade yesterday, lining the streets, celebrating these seniors. These people, frankly, they had nothing to do, right? Because we're all at home. But they were all out there. A parade that was created just a couple weeks ago, just filled with folks. The way businesses, there's a dance school in town that, of course, had to rethink the way they were going to do dance classes. And they did them online, and kids still showed up. But the teachers wanted to celebrate all of them, all of these students, the hundreds of students that go through the dance school. And the teachers hosted this parade where you would come with your class, and you'd drive by the school, and the teachers would wave to you and all that stuff. And the owner of the dance school had mentioned, this is horrible that we have to do something like this. And it was suggested, I think it was by my wife, frankly, who works for North Andover School of Dance, that said, this is amazing. This is what we celebrate. This is a sign of humanity. This is a sign of love of the people that you work so hard to be part of this community, to be part of your dance school. That they're coming, they're not only coming to wave to you, they're coming to say thank you. Thank you for stepping up. Thank you for making one of the most challenging and difficult times so important and so meaningful for us. And it's really remarkable what we're seeing. We have a great country that we live in, and we are taking the steps forward to get back to where we were and far beyond it. Because I'll tell you, at the rate in which we are going to be coming back over the next few months, where we were, though this market was at an all-time high, though unemployment was at an all-time low, folks, we're coming back to all that stuff, and it's going to even be better. We got lots of stuff to look forward to. There's an amazing country we live in, and we have some problems. Don't get me wrong. There are problems that we have to address, and there are reasons and rationale to get up and make your statements and let your voice be heard. And we can do that as long as we do it safely. The looting and the rioting, absolutely unnecessary. But we have to look to say, how can we be better? How can we prepare ourselves for the next month, the two, the three ahead, and the years ahead? And that's what we do at Friedman Financial. You will find that every time I'm on this radio, I'm not talking about what you need to do today. I'm not offering you a stock tip to say you need to be buying this or selling this. What I'm doing is I'm trying to offer rational advice during emotional times. And over the past couple months, it has been very emotional, frankly, very irrational in many cases, because the rules change every single day. Well, now we're starting to gain some clarity. I want to give you some perspectives on some things that you need to know about in the weeks and the months to come. Some of them have to do with the stock market. Some have to do with financial planning. Some have to do with many people that just got an economic income debit card, one of those little debit cards that showed up, and what to do with that. I want to talk about this unemployment scam that's going on. I want to talk about how portfolios are performing differently from what you might see on the news. All of those things and so much more to share with you. We've got to take a quick break. When we get back, I've got lots to share with you. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
It's not about the money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We have been doing Dollars and Cents here on North Shore 104.9. I believe this is our seventh or eighth year, doing it for a long time. I so appreciate the listeners that tune in, the people that reach out to us on a regular basis to say thank you. They love the insights. I try to put this all in what I call a financial advice in a language you can understand. One of the ways that we continue to do this beyond the regular Sundays that we do these shows is our Friday newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. You know, I started doing Planning Pointers back in March of 2009. You may remember what happened back then. That's the last time we had one of these real challenging periods of time in our country. We worried about financial institutions, banks. People were leaving the keys on the counter in their kitchen and walking out of their homes. Unemployment was tough. It was tough to find a job. Lots of different challenges that faced us. And one of the things that we learned back then was that we needed to remain rational during emotional times, a similar situation as we have today. But what we also learned was that how we communicate with our clients has to be very delicate, and how we communicate with the public has to be delicate. Because one of the things that we had heard about financial advisors were calling their clients on a regular basis just to check in. How you doing? When things were really tough and challenging. And clients would say, you know, please don't call. I was actually having a good day. And when I see your name on the caller ID on my phone, I worry, oh my gosh, goodness, is something wrong with my portfolio? Something wrong with my financial plan? And so we decided to take a different approach back in March. And we set up this thing called Planning Pointers. It's our weekly newsletter that we write. We don't farm it out. We don't buy it from some service, nothing else. We write our newsletter. And it comes out every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. And it has consistently done that since March of 2009. So I don't know how many episodes. We've probably done 600 consecutive issues. We never miss it. If you'd like to get our newsletter, it is free. Go to my website. And by the way, it's free with no strings attached. You don't need to put in a credit card. You don't have to sit back and answer some questions from our firm about, you know, would you like to be a client to the office? No, no, no. It is a free newsletter. But I do need to get your email address so I can send it to you. So what you do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Put in your name, your email address, and you're signed up. There's a place there for comments if you want. You want to talk about the radio show. You want to ask me questions. You want to set up a free initial consultation. All that stuff. You can do all of that in the information box that's there. But all you got to do is hit send, and you will be joining the close to 7,000 people who are getting our newsletter every single Friday. It's a great way to stay in touch with a lot of information and interesting pieces that go on. So one of the stories that we talked about this week was many people receiving this thing called an economic income debit card. Maybe you saw it. It's this debit card that was given to people who qualified for a stimulus check. Maybe you didn't get it direct deposited into your bank account, and maybe you didn't get a check in the mail. The IRS and the government weren't too keen on sending checks in the mail, so they mailed out these economic income debit cards. Well, unfortunately for these cards, they didn't look all that legitimate, to tell you the truth, because it came from an outside source. You didn't know who these people were, what's going on with my debt. It came from a thing called the Money Network. And you go, who the heck's the Money Network? Because you get these cards all the time. You get cards in the mail that said, hey, you've qualified for $200,000 of a loan. Or, hey, here's this other card. Here's this card to help you pay off some other cards. And you wondered whether it was legit. Well, folks, believe it or not, as ridiculous as these cards looked, they were very legit. And they came loaded with money on them. Did you get one? We had a bunch of clients that actually got them, and they wondered if it was real. Some actually threw them away, not knowing that it was real. So here's a few things to know about these economic income debit cards. Number one, if you happen to throw it away, do not worry about it, because you can get another one at no cost. The phone number is on the economic income benefit website, but I'll give it to you if you have a pen handy. It's 800-240-8100. That's 800-240-8100. You go to that website. You call that phone number, and they'll reissue another debit card. The other thing that's interesting is all the rules around this debit card. So your card actually comes loaded with an amount of money on it. I mean, maybe it was $1,200. If you're married, maybe it's $2,400. It has your name on the card. And you can actually walk up to an ATM machine and start pulling cash out. You can walk up to the counter at Stop and Shop or at Walgreens or at Home Depot, and hopefully at restaurants and other retail stores that open up on Monday, and hand it to them, and it will work. It's really cash. Now, the thing that you need to know, though, it's a debit card. So you need to activate it, and you need to set up a PIN number. You can do that by going online and setting it up, or even calling the phone number, and they'll walk you through how this all works. But what's also interesting, which they don't tell you about, is it actually comes with some fees too. So you have to be a little careful of what some of those fees might be. If you want to go and get money with your economic income debit card, you got to make sure that the ATM machine you're going to is in network. And I was listening earlier this week to a couple other shows, and some people were talking about these debit cards, saying that the fees are just outrageous. And folks, I don't necessarily agree with that. I actually think that the government did a pretty good job with this organization called MetaBank, which I believe is a government-owned bank. You can actually get money out of these ATM machines a lot easier than you might have imagined. In fact, you can get out without paying fees even at a gas station. You see, if you go to the website, there is a spot where you can go to find out who is in my network, which cards are in the network. And you will find that there are many gas stations, Walgreens, places that participate in what's called the AllPoint brand. Those are those little ATMs that just stand around. Yeah, now you may need to pay the fee for taking money out because it's at that Walgreens, but your card is not going to be charged an extra fee for using them. I mean, honestly, if it was me, I'd encourage you to go to your local bank, stick that ATM machine in, take the money out of a participating bank. I think that works fine. Now, it says you can take up to $2,000 on one transaction out of an ATM machine in cash. It might say that you can do that, but can you really do that? I mean, when's the last time you took out more than $500 from an ATM machine? Usually there's a limit on what you can take. The ATM sets the limit, not the card. And frankly, if everyone went around pulling $2,000 out of ATM machines, I think the ATM machines would empty out pretty quickly. So monitor this, but you want to track how you're using your ATM card, because every time you want to do an ATM balance inquiry, you know, you stick your card into the machine to say, geez, how much is left on my card? Well, there's a 25 cent fee for that. There's a $2 fee if you use out of network ATMs. And there's these little things add up. So you want to be responsible. That's a lot of money on a debit card. I mean, I know that if I had if someone handed me a $1,000 debit card, I'd be much happier with 10 $100 debit cards because I feel like I could manage them better. You lose track. We all lose track of what's on a debit card. So take the responsibility. The government has given you free money. Make sure that you use every dollar of it. Make sure that you use it wisely and smart. But seriously, take advantage of that. Another thing that we've seen that has been interesting this week, we've been getting calls from clients who got letters from the Unemployment Office of Massachusetts. And it says, thank you for applying for unemployment. You've qualified for a benefit of, let's say, $800 a week, plus the $600 pandemic unemployment assistance addition, which you've all heard about. We've talked about the unemployment, the extra money people are getting for unemployment, that extra $600, which, by the way, which does end in July. But the reason for them calling when they got this letter was, Mark, I'm still working. I didn't apply for this unemployment insurance. Yeah, that's the problem. So you may remember a couple years ago, an organization, a crime ring based out of Nigeria, stole all sorts of people's information from Experian, one of the credit bureaus. Millions, hundreds of millions of people's information. Well, it included your social security number, your name, and everything. Well, this agency, this crime ring, has now reenacted itself. And they're taking this data and using the situation, the pandemic that we're in right now, to begin applying for unemployment benefits for the names of people that are on this list. Not all of them, they pick some. So what ends up happening is when you apply for this unemployment insurance, the letter comes to your home address saying you applied and you've been accepted for unemployment or you have not. What you don't see is the bank account that was established with the application to say, here's where the money's going. So you need to be very careful here. If you've received this letter, you need to reach out to the Fraud Bureau at the Unemployment Office of Massachusetts. Because here's another sad situation. Let's say someone has applied for unemployment benefits without you knowing about it, and then you lose your job, and you legitimately go to apply for unemployment insurance. And you can't get it because they say you're already collecting. And you go, what do you mean I'm already collecting? I'm not. We have to be careful. There's still a lot of scam artists out there, folks. And they are preying on our unwillingness to open our mail, frankly. I mean, think about it. When the mail comes to your house every day, how much mail do you open? I know I throw out probably 90% of the mail that comes to my house. If it doesn't look like something I'm familiar with, or if it's just in a plain envelope, or if it has a bulk rate stamp on it, I know that stuff isn't very personalized to me. I toss it. We've all continued to do that. But we have to be a little diligent right now. There are many people out there trying to take advantage of us, and I don't want them to do that to you. So let's be careful. If you get those letters from the unemployment office, make sure that it is legitimate. Speaking about that pandemic unemployment check, that extra $600, yeah, it's going to end in July. So there are many people, many businesses that have opened up, and they say, hey, we want you to come back to work. I'd like to have you come back to work. And people say, no thanks. I'm making more money by sitting on my butt at home and collecting an unemployment check thanks to the government. That doesn't feel right. That just doesn't seem very patriotic, if you will. But we all have to look out for ourselves. And economically, if you can make more money doing one thing over another, generally, you know, money speaks. I mean, we always complain about ball players that are taking turning down a $20 million offer by the Red Sox because they wanted to get $22 million, let's say in Philadelphia somewhere. It's all about the money. It really does come down to that at the end of the day. And people want the opportunity, especially weather like this. Who wouldn't want to have the opportunity to not work and collect a check? Well, businesses are reopening, and they're reopening fast because the numbers that came out of the economic numbers that came out this past week were really quite stunning. And if you watch the news, you would never see this coming because, honestly, I think you've all come to realize that the news station we choose to watch is biased to what we want to really hear. If we really wanted to understand a true opinion of what's going on in the world, we need to watch multiple news organizations and be willing to remain uncomfortable when we hear something from a news station that we don't necessarily agree with, leaving open the window that perhaps there's some truth to it. But economic numbers, they're real. They come from the data that's provided. Well, they come from the data that's provided. You got to hope that data is real too. And I want to share some of those pieces of information with you because I think you're going to get excited about what is still yet to come in the stock market, what's still yet to come for your personal well-being, for your future financial planning, for your ability to spend money and re-engage in this country unlike you've ever done it before. You're going to see our nation of savers turn into a nation of spenders and really reignite this country. You're going to see new types of ways to do business. And it's very, very exciting. I want to tell you all about it when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. For more than 50 years, we've been providing individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley with financial advice in a language you can understand. As each of us struggle to find answers in this uncertain environment, we're continuing to communicate with our clients in a variety of ways. Our weekly newsletter, our video town hall, our client teleconferences, and periodic phone calls continue to offer ways to address clients' questions despite remaining physically distant. If you're feeling alone and searching for rational advice during these emotional times, perhaps Friedman Financial can provide the comfort that you need. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money, 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 money.
Yeah, that's lots of that's saying money a lot of times. And that's really what we're talking about here. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with FriedmanFinancial.com. I'm sorry. I said that wrong. I'm kind of like a little spaced out here this morning. I'm working from my home. So let me start that again and say, welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm the CEO and president of Friedman Financial located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Delighted to have you with us. We are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. People ask me, so Mark, when are you going back to the office? When are you going to start seeing clients? When can me as a listener start to engage you to say, hey, I might like a second opinion. I might like to work with a firm like yours. Well, truth of the matter is it never stopped, to tell you the truth. We've actually spoken to a few of you listeners. We've done Zoom calls with you. We've had some nice conversations. We've even engaged with you to become new clients to for the office. You know, our focus early on, I think we said this back in March and April, was to make sure that we took care of our existing clients. We weren't really talking to new clients at the time. We wanted to make sure that they were set and ready to go in a very challenging period of time because I think I've told you this before. At Friedman Financial, 65% of our clients are either about to approach retirement or are in retirement. And when you run through a world that we're in today, when it gets a little scary and you're about to stop your paycheck, and all of a sudden you have to rely upon government programs like Social Security, or perhaps you have a pension from work, and then your resources that you've accumulated to provide you with income for the rest of your lives, it gets a little intimidating, especially when you see the volatility of the market and you say to yourself, oh, wait a second, I'm not adding money to my 401k plan anymore. I'm not putting money into my 403b. I'm not making a Roth contribution. I now have to rely on everything that I have. And even if I wanted to work even further, will I be able to find a job when unemployment is at 13% right now? It's a little challenging. But I think what's really revealing over the past 3 or 4 months that we've been through is that the advice that we shared back in March when the stock market was down 35% is still the same exact advice that I'll give you today. And that was to basically do nothing when it came to your investment portfolio. We are not a reactionary investment management firm. We take a strategic approach to structuring your portfolio so that it can live through some ups and downs, even when those ups and downs are dramatic. 65% of our clients take a check every month from their account. We send a direct deposit to your bank account. Or perhaps you say, can you make my car payment through my investment accounts? Can you make my mortgage payment? Different types of things that we might do for them. And people worried, oh my goodness, with the market dropping, with COVID-19 seeming to spread all around the world and scare us and, you know, frankly, kill some people, make a lot of people very sick and worry so many of us, so much so that each one of us really feels an obligation and wants to protect others by wearing masks when we go out, when we engage in the public. However, the question was, if I'm taking $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 a month for my investment account, do I need to cut back? Do I need to stop taking so much money to protect and preserve my investment portfolio for the rest of my life? And the answer that we said in March still holds true today, and now we're seeing the rewards from that. Number one, we said no. Your portfolio is built so that you can continue to draw money from your investment account on an ongoing basis. And we have a plan in place that unless we feel that over the next 3 years, things are going to be worse, you should continue to take your check on a regular basis. Don't change it. Just take the check. I know you're going to see your accounts go down, but they will respond back positively as well, unless there was something dramatic that we felt was going to be sustainable for 3 years or more. We never saw this COVID-19 being sustainable. We never saw the financial crisis of 2008 as 3 year sustainable and more that would be that dramatically impacting the economy. And so we continue to tell people to take their money. And by taking their money, you know what they've done? They've actually done something that they needed to do in the first place. They actually built up their bank accounts. Yeah, just because you took the money doesn't necessarily mean you spent the money, did you? That's what's happened with this stay-at-home world that we're living in, our more simpler lifestyle. We're not spending money nearly as much as we used to. And in fact, the savings rate was announced last month at 33% in America. 33%, third of what you've been bringing in, you've been saving. I mean, those are rock star numbers. Certainly something that is not likely to be sustainable, but it's dramatic. We're not spending nearly as much, but what we are doing, and I hope you will continue to do this, is build up money in your bank account so that you have a formidable emergency fund. You have money that you can draw upon that will provide income to you, I mean, provide resources to you if you need them in a pinch. I want you to have 3 to 6 months of your regular monthly spending amounts in a bank account, and I don't care if the interest rate is even negative. Think about this. Let's say you spend $5,000 a month to cover all of your expenses. If you spend $5,000, that means you should have somewhere between $15,000 and $30,000 in the bank as an emergency fund. And if you don't, you should. And if you don't think, if you wonder how to do it, what many people do is they use their investment accounts as their emergency fund. That, my friends, is dangerous. It's destructive. You have to have some stability in a local bank account to have money to turn to if all of a sudden you need to repair the roof or need to redo the driveway or need to come up with a household repair. Because look, a lot of people these days are doing more household projects. You need to have the money. Yes. Can you borrow from your home equity loan at a very low rate? Can you refinance your mortgage at a very low rate? Yes. All of those things are tools and arrows in your quiver. However, having cash on hand, an emergency fund, is one of the primary tools that you need to have, and this is your opportunity to build upon it. So I would encourage you to take a look at your emergency fund. You may not ever call it that. You sometimes just call it my checking account or my savings account. But if you have it, if you haven't really looked at the number lately, ask yourself, do we have 3 to 6 months? And if you don't, why don't you work really hard to build that up? But the next part that we have to think about is, in retirement, how do we take all that we have and manage it appropriately during ups and downs and these gyrations that we have in the market, so that you can live the life that you want and not worry so much? And one of the things that we've learned over the past 3 or 4 months is that using an asset allocation strategy, money in stocks, bonds, and we use mutual funds for our stock and bond holdings, mutual funds and exchange traded funds and index funds, along with a little bit of cash, allows you to weather the storm not nearly as wild as you would if you owned an individual stock. Look, you can pull up the names of some stocks lately and follow some pretty wild rides. Our clients' portfolios didn't do that. They managed within moderation. And when I came out with a statement back in March, the market was down 35%. And I made the bold statement, and I had no idea whether I was going to be right or wrong on this. I said, I would bet that by June, we've recovered at least 50% of what we've lost. Remember, the market was around 29,000. I mean, a lot of people talk about what the S&P is doing, what the NASDAQ's doing. I think the general public thinks about what's the Dow doing. Everyone says it's hit 29,000. Yeah, I could tell you that. If I asked you, what's the S&P 500 at, or what's the NASDAQ at? I bet many people don't know that number. But I bet you got a pretty good sense as to what the Dow Jones Industrial is at. And let's remember what the Dow Jones is. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is an index of 30 companies, not 500, not 5,000, 30 companies. They're the leading company within each sector. And so there's only 30 that are part of that group, and their market capitalization weighted, which means the bigger the company you are, the more heavy weighting you might have in the index. But that Dow Jones Industrial Average at 29,000, which is where it was before we hit this pandemic, dropped into the 18,000s. It dropped back to a level that existed around the time when President Trump was elected into office. And then the market, as you well know, skyrocketed, went up, and then it pulled back down. And people said, oh, here we go. We're going to reset the whole thing again. And I said, there's no way that's sustainable. When times are tough, people overreact. And when times are good, people overreact. And I made the statement in March to say, I believe we were going to be back more than 50% in the month of June. And at that point in time, when I said that, people thought I was nuts. People thought we might be quarantined forever. We might never go back to school. Businesses may never return to the way they were. We may never be able to go out to eat again. Oh my goodness, could we find another roll of toilet paper, hand sanitizer, or paper towels? But I believed in the strength of this country, that in times of adversity, our country comes together. Though we have become polarized in many issues, the idea of working to find a vaccine or a cure or treatments for this virus has been unwavering. We will move forward, and we are moving forward. And when that happens, this economy, this stock market, is driven on the cure for COVID-19 or a treatment or a vaccine. This economy, frankly, is not moving based upon protests. As much as that might be the news of the day right now, protests will pass. These will go away. When we look back and we reflect on 2020 and we think to ourselves, what will be the story of the year for 2020? As much as the horrific actions of a police department handling the George Floyd situation and many other situations around this country, and as much as it's created rallies and protests all around the world, the story is going to be COVID-19. But what amazes me is how quickly we believe that the story of the day will be the story that will sustain. And the stories change all the time. Who would have thought that the story of COVID-19 would disappear basically with the George Floyd story? And who will believe that the George Floyd story and even the Black Lives Matter story, a very, very critical, important conversation that needs to happen, This too will go away because another story will present itself. That new story could be COVID-19 rearing its ugly head again in June if our role as individuals, if we stepped back a little bit and pulled off our masks, we became less socially distanced, if we went out in protest, if we went out in celebrations, if we gathered too quickly, I think July 1st is going to be that number. When we see what that number is, if cases didn't increase dramatically, what the stock market is telling us today, a pre-market indicator of what they believe the economy will look like, this market is going to put rocket boosters on the back of it and will really take off. So I know I got to take a quick break. So we've got a little bit more time left in today's show. I want to talk to you about some more about this historic decline that we've gone through, the historic recovery. I want to talk about some thoughts about opening up the world and why now is the time. If ever you've been rethinking about your overall financial situation, about getting your financial house in order, about sitting down and saying, you know what? I don't know if I can do this on my own. I might have been pretty miserable with my spouse and everybody else talking about what I should buy, what I should sell, how I should manage my portfolio so that we can continue to provide income to ourselves in retirement and do it smart without worrying about it every single day and worrying that we have so many different balls that we're trying to juggle in the air. Who can we talk to? We'd love to meet with you. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, we are holding initial consultations. Some of them we're doing through Zoom, and hopefully around July 1st, we will be back in the office meeting with you in person. But give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We got to take a quick break. When we're back, I've got more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. All my people stay true. I said, make the money, don't let the money make you. Change the game, don't let the game change you. I forever remain faithful. All my people stay true.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Friedman Financial. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts at 41 Cross Street, right across the street from the soon-to-be-reopening North Shore Mall and the soon-to-be-opening, and right above, the soon-to-be-opening Alto Forno Restaurant. I know they've been doing a bunch of changes down at Alto Forno. I think it's a big facelift they're putting on at the place. I mean, I thought it looked pretty good the way it was, but, you know, Dan Mamola and his staff do some remarkable things over there, so I'm sure this place is going to look even better when you return, and I'm sure their family is welcome, is so excited to have you back at their restaurants, whether it's Palana at Alto Forno, and even Daniela's. Daniela's been killing it. I'm looking forward to going back there. I'm thinking maybe with this new phase two reopening, and I haven't asked anybody yet, perhaps they'll use their patio and open it up, and maybe we can start to have dinner outside over there. And if so, maybe I'll be one of the first people to eat there because I just love it over at Daniela's. Anyways, I'm here in my office again today here at home. Week 10 that Friedman Financial has been operating from our home offices, and we are broadcasting live to all of you who tune into Dollars and Cents each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. I'm so honored that you continue to come back and listen to our show. Many of you drop me notes, you send me an email, you sign up for our newsletter. So let me kind of give you that information of how you can do that to our new listeners. We do put out a weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It arrives in your mailbox, each and every, your email box, every Friday morning at 10:30. If you'd like to join the more than 7,000 subscribers to this newsletter, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, and you'll have an opportunity to sign up. All you need to do is give me your name and your email address, and if you want to stick a comment in the box, that's wonderful. I promise you this. Everybody knows. I've been doing this for 8 years now. I've been doing financial planning for almost 30. We are not one of these firms that says, because you signed up for a newsletter, we're going to sic a whole team of people on you to try to get you to do business with our firm. That is not how Friedman Financial operates. It's never how Friedman Financial has operated. And I believe because of that approach, it's allowed us to remain authentic and successful on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley. We have 450 households that we serve. We would be delighted to talk with you when you think it's time to talk to us, not when I try to convince you with some gimmick or idea about why you should work with us. Folks, you've got to feel good about working with a financial planner. This is an important decision in your life. You're going to expose your entire financial situation, how much you make, how much you spend. And I know some people don't know how much they spend. We'll help you figure that out. How much you have, the assets that you own, your home, your retirement accounts, your investment accounts, insurance policies, annuities you might own, a boat, a car, inheritances you might get from the family, or money that you might be spending to support the kids or your parents. We talk about it all, and we talk about all the emotions that surround it so that we can make a plan that's built for your situation, not somebody else's, not what Susie Orman says is good for the rest of everybody. No, we're going to make it fit for you. We're going to adapt it. We're going to modify it. And we're going to work with you. And it's not going to be through a series of templates and sound bites. Our relationship is personal. That's what we do at Friedman Financial. And every client that has worked with us would probably tell you the same thing. At least I would hope they would. Because I would tell you, I think we are very fortunate to have some of the greatest clients in the world. They are entrusting us to help them make some very important decisions. Sometimes those decisions are fueled by emotion, and it's our job to remain rational during some very emotional times. And if there's one thing that I take great pride in our firm in, is that we have been there. We've done that. My father started our firm back in 1968. So more than 50 years of experience guiding individuals and families all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area with fiduciary-based financial planning. We've put your interest first always. We are a fiduciary. It's our job. We are also certified financial planners. And I don't care who you work with, when it's time to expose somebody to your overall financial planning situation, for someone to give you guidance on your financial future, someone who's going to remain rational during emotional times, you are best served, I believe, by working with a certified financial planner professional. They have to meet the highest level of standards from education through examination, through ethics, and through experience. No other designation sets a standard higher than the CFP designation. Might you pay a little bit more? Sure. But like everything else, you get what you pay for. I'm very excited about what the future holds for this economy, for your money, for your financial future, for your ability to have your children find jobs. Now, this may not feel like the best time to be finding jobs, but when they do find jobs, I think they're going to love them, and they're going to be different, and they're going to operate differently. Look, I have a daughter right now, Alana, who just graduated University of Rhode Island. She doesn't have a job. I shouldn't say that. She does have a job. She found a job waitressing for the summer, but she doesn't have a full-time job out of school with a salary and all that yet, but she will. The creation of new jobs is going to be tremendous in the weeks, the months, the years to come. And they're not going to be the traditional jobs that you and I are used to. There are going to be all different types of new jobs, new ways to do business. And those that have actually paid attention and engaged in computer technology, have accessed the new system that's out there, they are going to benefit. What's that going to do to us? Some of us that have not really engaged. I mean, I don't know how to code. Do you know how to code? But there are things that we provide to the table that are equally as essential. Some of us that have been around for a while. We know how to have conversations with people. We know how to be empathetic. We know the value of showing up to work on time, working hard, and being dedicated and being a valuable employee. That's one of the things that our kids today are going to have a tougher time with. The issue of trying to solve problems on their own rather than having someone try to solve the problem for them. They're going to have a difficult time engaging in a public culture where they have to sit and be a participant in a conversation without a phone in their hand and actually actively understand the perspectives of other people around the table so that collectively we can do something better. That's what we did when we went to school. That's what our conversations were all about. It wasn't about taking an opinion and digging your heels in. It was about having an opinion, but understanding the opinions of others and seeing how we could become greater together. That's happening all around the country today with the polarization that happens through some of these protests, some of these marches that happen. We have the right to do that. We have the freedom to do it, and it's one of the greatest freedoms that we have as American citizens. But we also have to be willing to listen. And we have to not take all of our information from a soundbite that we get through social media, through Facebook, through Instagram, through Snapchat, or even through some of our news channels that we watch on television. We need to be willing to have engaged and thoughtful and respectful conversations face to face, not by pulling up a headline on your phone to justify your position, but actually just sitting back and listening to what people have to say, to engaging with one another, to respecting the fact that we can have a difference of opinion, even strong differences of opinion, and still respect one another. Because I think there is so much more that we have in common that we have that's different. We can find a way to get through this. The stock market, honestly, tells us that they are so confident that we can get through it, that they're a pre-indicator right now saying we're heading in the right direction. To think right now of where we are with a virus, a pandemic around this country, and millions of people rallying to protest these two very strong, very abrasive issues that are happening in this country, and to think that the stock market right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average year to date, is down 5%. The S&P 500 is down 1.14%. And the NASDAQ year to date is up 9%. So here's the thing, folks. When we start thinking about investing, we can't think about what the market did yesterday, what it did last month, whether it was up 800 points or down 1,000 points. Let's just go 1 year, and that's even short-sighted. Get this, on a one-year basis, as of Friday's close, the S&P 500, if you were invested a year ago in the S&P 500, you're up 13%. If you were invested in the Dow Jones Industrial Average a year ago, you're up 6.15%. And if you had an investment in the NASDAQ, you're up 30%. That doesn't necessarily mean you should run to the NASDAQ or run to the Dow Jones Industrial Average or to the S&P 500. You need to build a portfolio that's proper for you, that's constructed of stocks and bonds and cash and large cap and small cap and international securities, all focused around your financial plan, all focused around what you need. And we're here to help you. And I will be here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. with financial advice in a language you can understand. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I hope you'll give us a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And until then, I'll be back next Sunday with dollars and cents, more financial advice in a language you can understand right here on North Shore 104.9. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or a attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity sub-accounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.
Your official at work station, North Shore 104.9, WBOQ Gloucester.